Podcasting 2.0 for July 29th, 2022, episode 95. We are the Jazz. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening in what's hip, new, and cool in Podcasting 2.0. Podcastindex.org. Of course, we discuss the namespace, the podcast standards, and anything else that we've been messing around with at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who needs more than 1,000 characters in his description field. My friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
We're urgent. Urgent.
Urgent?
We have racists on our site.
What?
Racists, I tell you.
Racists?
You didn't see the email?
No.
Yeah, we got an email to the info at podcastindex.org. With an urgent message.
Since, I missed it. Oh, wait. I think I did. I did see this.
Yeah, the subject line: urgent racists on your site.
Wasn't this the one that was CC'd to a whole bunch of other people?
Yeah. Shall I read it?
Yeah, because weren't they asking specifically for us to do something about it, or was it just warning racists on our site?
Now, if you're going to say that, you better give clear instructions as to where the racists are so we can go and handle
the racist. Yes.
Yeah. Go get him. But this is a little bit, it says like this, this starts out this way with it. I don't think grammatically you're supposed to start a sentence with parentheses, but I could be wrong. The way this starts is parentheses, change this to people, not person.
Close parentheses. Yes. I did see this one. Your merge failed, but okay. Yeah. All right. We're still with you.
Your merge, but still applies to both podcasts. This person is a racist. Racist white nationalist accounts are interacting, replying, being bigots in comments, interacting with this content. This person possibly platforming such, people doing such. They're also interacting with others doing such. Podcast name, Orange Pill Podcast.
The Max and Stacy Orange Pill Podcast? Seriously?
Yes, the Orange Pill Podcast is
racist.
Now, grammatically, this email might not even be talking about the Orange Pill Podcast as racist. They may have just added that in.
Yeah.
Podcast name, Orange Pill Podcast.
Just anything that happens to pop up when they scrape the website.
Yeah, it said to change this to people, not persons. So clearly we don't know how to interpret their...
Telling you, man, the woes we have to go through for running an index, you know, all these, these takedown requests. It's actually, we don't really talk about that much, but have we received any real, two DMCA takedown requests total since we've been doing this?
Yeah, not many, not many real of, real DMCA takedowns where it's like, get it off.
Yeah.
Like we haven't got.
And there's maybe a couple of people like, I don't want to be on your, there's a couple of those, but most are, oh, this is so embarrassing. Please delete this.
That's 90% of it.
You get a lot of that.
And most of that is anchor. It's like, oh, I did this when I was like 12.
Yeah.
Can you please remove this?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm day four of the coof.
This is round two for you.
Yeah.
Maybe three? Did you say maybe three?
No. This is two. Two for Tina as well. She got it from her friend and she was in Utah and came back and she's like, stay away from me. Yeah. I'm like, no. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And like, I'm going to stay away. Like the germs are not going to fly into my face. So of course I got it.
That didn't take long.
No. It's like a summer cold. It's just annoying. It's just a waste of time. It's very annoying that way.
Yeah, Melissa, she went to Tampa a few weeks ago, and she got like it's the big long girls trip vacation. Been looking forward to it. Day one, as soon as she got down there, got it and tested positive, and then she was like, "Oh, great!
Yeah,
I get to stay in the hotel all for a whole week."
Oh no, horrible.
She went out to the beach and stuff, but I mean, it was it's just an annoyance at this point.
So it was fun listening to the Podland podcast today, which is basically now just a companion show for this one.
It's a spinoff.
It really is. My dog is trying to say something. I'm not sure what she wants.
That's my dog.
Oh, your dog? I thought it was. They sound so similar.
With the number of audio routing issues we had, it may be my dog coming through your in your house.
You know what? Let me talk about that for a second, because this is important for podcasting peoples. Okay. So just to briefly recap, for well over a decade, maybe longer, really since we started podcasting, I've been always looking for the ultimate all-in-one portable device that would really do it all, with all the routing and the compression, and it's never really gotten there.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
What do you think this rises to the level of an obsession with you? Would you call it that word?
Yes. I mean, not an obsession like you have to do it every single day, but it's something that always I've been. I mean, if you go back and look, you can see that I've made so many different versions of a portable podcast rig, and I've had it in Pelican cases, and I've documented most of that work. I mean, this goes back to at least 2009 or something. But even before then, you know, we were doing podcasting, and it just seemed, obsession. No, it's a part of the whole idea. The idea is that if we can create this, then it has to also be small. And there's no reason why we can't have something that does everything the right way. We've kind of been borrowing from the music industry for years and years, the way okay. their stuff is set up. And then device makers clearly saw the market for gaming. And so most of their devices were for gamers and Twitch streamers, which is still different. It's a different setup than what you need for podcasting. And certainly the theory I have is you get it good to go. You hear what's going to be on the recording, and you do it all in one take. And if you need to edit, you can go back later and cut stuff out. But I'm not really, I think because we haven't had a device that lets you do that easily and professionally, people resorted to when we record multi-track and I'm going to go sit there like Phil Spector and on the wall of sound, I'm going to do everything and compress everyone's, you know, do a little bit panning. So, you know, which I just don't think is, for some people, they may like doing that, but I've always believed there's a very big market for just being able to sit down and do it. Mm-hmm. So I've reached out to many device makers. I've tried to make my own, and even did a GoFundMe at one point, which failed because I had to pull it because we couldn't deliver the technology. I had a bad technology partner.
I had
the concept. Oh, hardware. I don't think I should ever do hardware again. It's hardware is crazy. And now I see what Rode has come out with at the price point, even, which is $700. It doesn't matter. I would pay $2,000 for this. It doesn't matter. It's exactly what I want. And the nice thing about what they've done is they really have it set up so they can issue firmware updates with real functionality right off the bat. So even since I've had this, which has been, 6 weeks or so, maybe not even? 4 or 5 weeks?
Roughly that, month or so.
So we got a firmware update, and it included some routing specific routing options, which the gamers actually wanted. So they had made such a great podcast device. Gamers went, well, hold on, you know, this is not working for us anymore. So they were able to fix that pretty quickly, which I think was fantastic.
So when do you choose the appropriate window to do a firmware update? That is critically important with your slate of podcasts.
Yes, I did this on Monday. So after the No Agenda show, I would have, I knew I was not going to do Mo because I knew I wouldn't even be able to talk by Wednesday, and I had to save my energy for Thursday. So yeah, I had a good 3 days in between.
Good call.
Cause I'm not crazy and everything was working fine.
Right.
But here's a bug that I noticed. So the way it works, when you switch to a different show, you literally import this show from the settings from the internal or from the SD card that's internal to the device that you stick into the device.
Okay.
And it was bringing back the settings with the new routing capabilities. It was confused, and it should have just known what to do and have the routing the way it was the last time we did the show, which was pre-update. But it didn't. And And so when it came on, it just confused everything. And I had to go in and reset the routing, which is kind of the first time I was doing it. So it made it complicated. And by then, of course, I had already messed around with clean feed and made changes there, thinking that was the problem. And so now we had four things to deal with. But it was Midas. Yeah, I think Midas was in the chat room, and he said, man, he said, no, this is it's the routing stuff.
Yeah, he said, nuke your routing and go back to default and then start from there.
Yeah, and I had that's the thing. This show had not had any routing. So that's an update bug. You know, it's very, very hard, particularly with production machines. You know, you got people relying on it, and you're issuing updates and stuff doesn't work. Oh, man.
Yep. Welcome really to Microsoft.
Hard. Yeah. Well, to anything, really. It's welcome to Sovereign Feeds. I mean, welcome to all kinds of stuff. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, this leads into, that's a perfect segue into podping.cloud and the issue ahead with that this week.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Because, okay, you know, my day job for the last 26 years has been, no, 27 years has been as a system administrator, taking care of servers and all kinds of, you know, lots of other things. But so, as part of that, I have acquired a proclivity to not change things unless there are important reasons to do so. So, like the same, that would say, you know, okay, your BIOS, your firmware, don't upgrade it unless there is a security flaw that you think you'll be affected by, b, a new feature you can't live without, or see a bug that you're trying to fix. If none of those three things are there, don't install, don't flash your motherboard firmware. Don't do any, you know, don't flash firmware on a device. Mm. Well, I apply that to all updates of anything. If something is working, and there's not a security problem, a feature I need, or a bug, I'm not touching it, because that just you're randomly adding extra work and extra potential failures to your slate.
I've learned this over the years. The main thing is when to update. You know, even Windows update. I deny that until I know I got a clear 48 hours ahead.
Oh yeah, you never install Windows updates within the first week. No. You always wait at least 2 weeks.
No, but I mean, even just I know that I have 48 hours to fix something.
Oh yeah,
that's what I mean by that. Oh yeah,
recover,
Anyway, so I've been looking at what I want to get is a really good Linux distro that is just really good at routing and sound and stuff. And then I only need one extra program to fulfill what I need. Yeah, I'm using Hindenburg Pro, which I love to death, specifically for editing. So now it's coming down to, okay, I can use Linux now in the studio environment with the Rodecaster. Which I feel a lot better about, even though, you know, I know a guy whose Ubuntu crashes all the time on the show.
Yeah, that must be Dvorak.
No, that's you.
Oh, that's me. Oh, yeah, you're right.
No, it's never Dvorak's box, ever. No,
that doesn't happen.
No, it does not happen to him.
My box has not had a good week.
Yeah.
We can talk about that, too.
I was going to say so what am I going to replace that with? You know, Audacity is not going to cut it for editing the way I can edit with Hindenburg Pro. So now it's literally come down to the specific usage of the apps that may determine my switch.
Mm-hmm. Is Hindenburg usable in Wine, or is that a disaster?
That's a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, you're writing huge, you know, raw files back and forth. But I want it to be native too. I mean, it's kind of a pussy move. You know, I was like, oh, I'm on Linux, but I'm using Wine for half my apps. Nah, it doesn't feel right.
I feel it's the other way around. I don't feel like it's a pussy move. I feel like it's like, you know, shows you got like big cojones to even attempt that. It's
well,
like,
right. Oh, but again,
look at what I'm about to do.
Again, production environment. She's like, and we're doing the show. And then all of a sudden Wine decides to throw a kernel panic or whatever. Yeah.
You record in Hindenburg.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
But it's also just, it is my editing software. Believe it or not, they use a HJKL shortcut system for forward, backward, fast forward, fast backward. You know, I've got all, it's mm-hmm. so it's complete muscle memory for me now. It's like, I can edit so fast. So that's going to be the big one for me anyway.
Well, I had to stop my Umbral services before we started the, a podcast from my Umbral. That is my podcast rig. And, I had to stop it because it's currently 55% of the way done of re-downloading the blockchain.
Yeah. Were you doing the upgrade to 0.5?
Yes.
Mine failed every single time and I've given up.
Your failure and my failure
are two different failures, I think.
Are different things because I don't know what yours is, but I know 100% what mine is now.
Well, let me just say one thing about mine. Okay. I have not tried to update my actual the Umbral that runs, you know, that I receive boostergrams on. This is the official Bitcoin machines, the one that I bought in the encasing. Everything mm-hmm. official, so it's not. It has to be the right configuration, and for that not to update, and then me have to go in command line and remove. And you know, I've tried all the remove update.json or in progress, all that shit. Nothing worked. And that's a showstopper. You know, you buy the box because it's supposed to at least do some things right.
Oh, okay, here's another. This is another lesson from sysadmin world. Is that is an intoxicating idea that you will always get pulled back into. And this is not specific to any one vendor or anything, but it is always the case that we are prone to think that the vendor that makes a thing, if you get their thing and they're also the ones that make the software, that it's natural. You think, okay, well, they're the ones that make the software. So if I buy their box if I buy their other software, that's going to be the best experience because they know best because they're the ones that literally made the thing. That is 100% not correct. It's just as bad or worse as everybody else's stuff.
Yeah. What's interesting though, if you go into the Telegram group or, you know, and try and get some help, the first thing that's always say, well, you know, you got to get the right connector and you don't have the right board and your power supply is the wrong power supply. So I could bypass all of that and say, hey, your shit just didn't update. And what happened? And
right. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's because we, so many times in corporate world, you're like, should I buy? Our main software is X and that's what our business lives on. But we have this other third party software we use for this other thing. But then X comes out with a software that competes with the other thing. Yeah, you're like, ooh, I should buy that because that's going to work great. And it'll integrate. Yeah, no, sir. It does not work that way.
I heard that there's a buddy of mine in Dallas. He mm-hmm. was trying to explain his business to me. Is it true that there's a whole business sector that comes to guys? Do you do purchasing? You must do purchasing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They come to you and they say, okay, here's what we got. We got this from Microsoft, this from Oracle, all these different things, different packages, maybe some new stuff, maybe some cool things. And then, you say, okay, I'll do that. And then they basically call Microsoft and Microsoft then gets a separate bunch of guys to come in and implement it. And the guy mm-hmm. who talks to you gets a VIG for the rest of his life. Or the lifetime of the contract.
I totally believe that. Yeah, because I know a guy that does that on the phone side. He does that with phone software and systems.
I think my buddy also does a lot of phone software and systems. Yeah, like call centers.
Yeah, it's a consultant. It's a consultant.
Yeah.
And he just goes out and shops your package around to the best.
Yeah, what a scam. Offer. And then he gets he gets a piece of the license fee for the length of the contract.
Oh, yeah, this guy makes bank. I mean, he's like,
what are we doing wrong? What are we messing around with this podcasting stuff for? It's like, this is crazy. That's like making money.
We're paying our own money to go to Dallas. What the heck are we doing? I want to get paid. I want to get paid like those guys. No.
Yeah. In perpetuity.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, glad we cleared that up.
My Umbral just shit the bed. I mean, like what happens? I started the upgrade. It wouldn't upgrade through the GUI. So I went in command line, Chris Fisher said, told me, this is his fault. He told me to do it. So I'm going to blame him.
Okay.
So I went in there and I started the upgrade script and I noticed that it's making a backup of the entire Umbral directory. First, I'm thinking, okay,
why would it do that? That's weird.
I'm guessing it's going to make a backup of the whole directory. Drop in a new file structure and then import and then bring in selectively config files and stuff from the old install. That's the only thing I can think. And so part of the problem is you've got the entire blockchain there. So it's backing up to the, and I thought I had a 2 terabyte drive and I'm like, okay, all right, it's fine. Two terabytes. It's going to be tight, but it'll fit. Well, no, I had a 1 terabyte drive.
Oh no, yeah. Then you're screwed. Nope, that won't do it.
Ran the volume out of space and everything stopped. And I'm like, oh shit. So yeah. I go in there, try to start cleaning it up. And then now it's half an update. It's a halfway finished update. I don't know what's what.
Now let me ask you a question. Did you back up your channels before you started this process?
I did back up my channels. Okay. And I have my seed words. like a good little boy, I had all of my stuff in a row.
Yay! Good for you, Dave.
Yes, I did all of these things, mm-hmm. And that was very important because
no kidding.
I came back. I finally got back home. Well, I did it through Tailscale,
right?
And,
right.
And of course, then the thing dies, and I have no access anymore. So I get home, and I start it. I clean up the disk space issue, and I just go. I go back to what it was, and I start the update again. And
because it wasn't enough pain the first time, like, come on, let's do it.
You know, I was asking myself the whole time, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I did have an answer to myself. Okay. And the answer was because Helipad, I've got to have this newest development environment.
This is true.
Because otherwise development on Helipad can't go to the Umbral.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this happen. And I start the upgrade again. It starts copying the thing. This time I'm prepared for this scenario. It starts copying the blockchain files. And here's my thought. Okay, here's my thinking. This thinking ultimately will bite me in the ass and mean way more work for me. But this was my thinking at the time. I'm going to stay ahead of this. What I'm going to do is as it's backing up, it's clearly going to bring all the blockchain files back.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do is as it's backing it up to this temporary directory, I'm going to delete the blockchain files from the source directory.
Oh, this is a very bad idea.
And I'm going to stay just behind the curve so that when it's on blockchain file 347, I'm deleting 341 through 346.
And you're doing this manually and you're watching the log in real time and you're doing RM and then whatever. Yeah.
RM, BLK, star, star, whatever.
So did you think ahead, what happens if it fails and then you need to go back and do the copy again and you've deleted them all?
No, of course I didn't think about that. This story would have already been over if I'd have thought of that. Because, so I'm deleting, I'm happily deleting. I'm like, man, this is such a great idea. I'm hacking this system so hard. And it finishes and then it goes, does a bunch of stuff and then it says, okay, you're done, you're upgraded. And I was like, hey, I'm a genius.
I got the you're upgraded message many times too.
I'm like, man, you are a badass, you're so genius.
It says it right there on the command line. It goes, poof, oh, you've been updated 0.5. And then you start it up.
Yep.
And
it was 0.5.
Really?
It was 0.5 with no Bitcoin or Lightning apps.
Yay!
And I was like, wait, okay. This can't be right. Okay. And then I'm thinking, I'm starting to like, I'm doing the thing where I'm getting rid of my panic mode, by trying to rationalize what could be happening.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I bet you this is what they did. I bet they give you a blank Umbral 0.5 and then you install the Bitcoin and Lightning Node apps and then everything just comes back. But that, of course, that's stupid. It makes no sense. I install the Bitcoin app and it's just blank. Nothing.
Right. No chain.
No chain. Mm-hmm. Install the Lightning Node app. It says, no, you got nothing. You got to wait for the chain to sync. Oh, crap.
So well, now you started up from your seed words.
That's where it gets real fun, because here's a bug with 0.5. You can't recover from seed words.
What?
It's gone. The option is just gone. And I confirmed this on message boards and everything. There is no option to recover from seed words in 0.5, in the 0.5 version. So,
wow.
The only option is blow all that stuff away. Go back, just RMRF the whole MF-er.
Install 0.5.
Install 0.4.18.
And then do the upgrade.
Do the restore from seed words. Let the blockchain sync.
Oh.
And then however many days that takes, hope that your channels didn't force close by the time that finishes so you can restore your channel back up, which is currently the phase I'm in.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Roy, when are you going to give us that new hot shit you're working on, man? So we don't have to deal with this anymore. This is crazy.
I want some green light, man. Yeah. This was the suck.
Give us some green light, bro. Yeah, that does suck. I'm sorry.
But, you know, I don't understand. I have no ill will towards Umbral in any way because I think they're doing a very complicated thing. I can't even imagine trying to handle all the stuff that they're doing. But you should not ship a Bitcoin wallet with deterministic Bitcoin wallet that does not have the ability to recover from seed words. That is a showstopper.
Yeah, it is.
That should have never left the barn.
All right. Okay. Should we talk about podcasting?
Yeah.
Well, let's transition into, and this is what I was hearing on Podland. Alberto from RSS.com was talking about, and I encourage everyone to listen to that interview, was talking about the integration with the Albi wallet. And
I have not heard that episode yet.
You will love it, because just listening to how they think about the development of their hosting services and the roadmap and how they determine the roadmap and how they do enhancements and, most importantly, the decisions why is really interesting. And it also gave me a little more insight into why things go slow. And the big takeaway, well, first of all, I love that they've done this, and you know, and it's a very basic, you know, there's no splits, you got a wallet and it works, and it's a very simple process, and I'm amazed. And so now they're going to look and see how their customers interact with it, if they use it at all. But just as you know, we've always had the chicken and the egg problem of what are the new features, the apps have to support them. The hosting companies, and this was one of Alberto's points, is like, well, you know, with chapters, for certainly in the beginning, 99.9% of all of his customers be like, oh, cool, I did chapters and I put my chapters in here. It's that great. But where are they on Spotify? You know, so they have this very long adoption and educational phase. And I'm sure all the hosting companies have this. And it's kind of fun, because now I see that all of a sudden, a lot of the podcasts on the hosts that I guess I listen to podcasts that are across all of the hosts, but now I'm hearing ad insertions. Seems like, you know, that was kind of a thing that everyone was working on for maybe 18 months. And now I hear dynamic ads on Blueberry. You know, you have the mid-rolls that Buzzsprout is doing. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. So that's kind of their co-competitive wave that they're doing things. And, you know, now I think we're seeing this move towards the 2.0 features. And, you know, it's always been slow with podcasting, but I got a little more insight into the hosting end of it and how they have to deal with driving adoption, really.
I was having a conversation with somebody about this recently, and I like the way RSS.com did it. And this was what it, you know, I suggest to people privately is that you can do a feature like this to one of, you know, a few ways. I mean, two primary ways. You could say, okay, there's this thing, and we want to do this for our customers. We want to enable this feature or this ability to do a thing. You could say, all right, value for value, we're going to do that. We are going to go grab some software, LMPay or Albi. I think Albi is open source as well. We're going to go grab that. We're going to load up. We're going to fire up a node. We don't have any idea what we're doing, but we're going to fire up a node. We're going to stick, you know, we're going to run this software, and we're going to start figuring out. We're going to put wallets on here. You could do it that way, mm-hmm. and take on a whole lot of liability potentially for things that you don't fully understand. Or you could do an integration with somebody like an Albi or some third party,
yep.
and get essentially what could be maybe not as robust a solution. There may be things you want to do in the future that you can't do with Albi, but at least what you've done is sort of, you've outsourced the responsibility for a thing that you don't fully grasp to this other outfit. And that gives you a little bit of separation between disaster, you know,
and
potential disaster.
And it is an example of interop in its purest form, as long as you use the open standards, just like RSS enables Podcast Index to work with CurioCaster, with Podverse, with Fountain, and it works with any of the hosting companies' feeds. Same thing with the Lightning Network and payments.
So much, yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, and that's what you're not going to get in a walled garden approach. And I think it drives innovation. Look at where we're at. People, you know, people at Spotify don't even know we exist. Some of them, the executives. Whatever. Yeah. What was that movie that Danny Kaye was in?
Danny Kaye, the movie about the Egypt.
Yeah, it was about the Encyclopedia of Music. Hold on a second. This is something from my childhood, and I'm making myself a huge boomer by doing this. There was a movie. Was it The Music Man? Anyway, I have to find out what it was. There was a movie, and it was this group of intellectuals, and they were writing the history of music. And, you know, going back, they were still kind of, they've been doing this for 10 years, and they were still in African tribal music. And then all of a sudden they kind of get out and have a drink in the open, and they discover that jazz is all around them. And that's kind of how I see what happens with these companies who are so hyper-focused on what they're doing, and they don't see the jazz being played around them, which I think is a really good metaphor for podcasting 2.0. We're like, you know, it's jazz. Everyone comes in. And sometimes it doesn't fit. And, you know, then it's like, yeah, yo, man, go smoke a J. Come back later. You know what I mean?
The five pennies? Is this it? Is this the movie?
That doesn't sound right. Well, it's about the Encyclopedia of Music.
Okay.
I'll have to think. I mean, it made an impression on me somehow when I was a kid. Anyway. Well,
I like this, and the interop there is perfect because it allows people to experiment with some of these features in a way for their customers, mm-hmm. for the benefit of their customers. I mean, the stuff, it works. It's not like you're just sandboxing something and saying, you know, okay, well, this doesn't really work, but you can get in here and play around with it.
Right.
You know, this actually works, and for those customers who want to give it a go, they can. But it's a very little risk to their primary business, and it's not a huge time sink. You know?
Although podcast running with scissors sometimes affects my actual business. Man, I screwed up the RSS feed on No Agenda so bad yesterday.
Tell me what happened, because I didn't follow.
Okay. The first obvious issue is I have this caching thing, which is just killing me. It's just killing me. I mean, because of the cache, you know, I have to guess and wait, well, maybe 15 minutes before I send a pod ping. And so, you know, you're doing that. You're trying to do a lit pod ping and, you know, oh shit, I've already started the show. So it's just, it's an extra piece of work in the cockpit the pilot doesn't need, but I still want to do it. So anyway, so yesterday I was really sick. We did the show, I'm done. And then in Sovereign Feed, which, you know, does all of this for me, somehow instead of copy previous episode to make a new one, I just changed the old one.
I
didn't realize it until I published it. Well, once you publish your RSS feed, particularly if you've got caching stuff, there's no quick like, oh, let me swap it out.
Things happen when you publish things. Oh man.
And then I had to have CurioCaster retrieve the original feed. Now I always save a copy of my feeds. So I can restore that. But then, you know, then CurioCaster has to wait 15 minutes to break through the cache, or Sovereign Feeds to break through the cache. Okay. So I finally got the old feed. Now I go through the whole thing. I do it properly. I publish. It takes forever, of course, you know, no one knows what's going on. Every app interprets that differently. So some people have a double at one episode. The episodes are out of order. It has this different art on the run. I mean, it's a fucking mess.
I wonder what we have in the index, what it looks like.
What do you mean? No, I didn't screw that one up.
No, I'm saying I wonder how we interpreted what happened.
Did you check?
I'm looking at it now.
It should be right.
It looks like everything is correct, except the title for 1472 is 1471.
It's reversed. You see? Yeah, they're reversed in order. So here, 71 only. Oh, God. Did I even do the...
Are you looking at the looking at the index?
Yes. Did I not make it episode 1472? Oh man.
No, it's wrong in the feed.
Oh my god. You see and oh man. Okay. All right.
Well,
yay. So that's what I mean is like shit happens. But whoa, man, and it's not so much that, you know, I can't, you know, people are like, hey, man, you messed up. Okay, that's easy enough. But the amount of people who tell you, hey, man, and the amount of tweets and emails and so anyway, my own fault.
Yeah, this is when things go, when disaster happens and the phone starts ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
You know, what I usually say is, okay, would you like to stay on the phone and talk about this?
Or would you like me to go and fix it? Like,
yes. Well, it's your choice.
The same thing with dog catcher. Every day there's someone who says, hey, I can't get the No Agenda show on dog catcher anymore. But most people now I know what to say to them. And I say, hey, man, here's what's going on. I say, oh, okay. I got you.
Form letter? You reply with a
form letter? No, it's not a form letter. Okay. But people say, yeah, you know what? They never really did this or that. And so maybe it's time to get a new app. But a lot of this is how dedicated people are to the apps.
I just find it hard to be dedicated to an app that's been abandoned. Like, I mean, I love sticking with apps. Clearly, I mean, I stuck with a bad version of Podping until it bit me in the ass. But like,
well, Dave,
I'm all about it, but I mean, how do you stick with an app that the developer has literally said, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore?
I still use Freedom Controller.
Man, that was a knife in the gut. Jeez.
I couldn't resist.
I didn't come here for this abuse.
I'm just messing with you, brother.
I think it's time to move on from that app.
Oh yeah, personally. No, definitely. But it's just, you know, just when it comes to, hey, we're just talking about software and how it all sucks and things break. And it all depends on the people who are involved in it to make it work or not or care.
And, well, let's talk about podping.cloud for a second.
Yes, because this was the other disaster.
But and it also leads to another opportunity here. So So Podping. Quick
explainer for the newbies on Podping.
Okay. Yeah. So Podping is a notification system for podcast activity that rides on the Hive blockchain. Hive is a public blockchain and it's very fast. It puts a new block out every 3 seconds. So what we do is, what Podping does is when you can write a JSON blob to the Hive blockchain, and that JSON blob can contain URLs of podcasts, feeds, and a reason and potentially a medium attached to them. So you can say, okay, No Agenda Show updated, and this is the reason why it updated. Here's an update. And you could say it's because it went live or because the feed changed or blah, blah, blah. You put that all on the blockchain, and then within seconds, it becomes public and everybody can see, No Agenda changed or whatever, the podcast is. So that's the quickie overview of the way of what Podping does. And there's two components to it. You have what we call the Hive Writer, which writes the Podping notifications to the blockchain. And then you have the Hive Watcher, which watches the blockchain to read the notifications as they come by block. The issue there is you have to have what are called Hive posting keys. Like you have to have permission, in essence, to write to the Hive blockchain. And the permission that you get is through the delegation of their Hive coin. That's, their cryptocurrency.
Which, when you say permission, that's the technical version of permission, but anybody can acquire that permission and write to the blockchain for this, correct?
Yes, if they own coin.
Yes.
If they can stake owned coin. Yes. So, in order, that's a roadblock, or
a mental roadblock for many, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it was a practical roadblock too at first, because I it still may be this way for all I know. I mean, it's not easy to buy Hive coin to begin with. I mean, it was a cumbersome process, and so we were like, well, the Hive blockchain is stable and it's good for this purpose. But the last thing we want to do is say, hey, Blueberry, here's what you need to do to send Podpings. Go buy you some Hive. And it's like, no, that's just no. Not. I don't want to get into pimping cryptocurrencies on people. Okay. It's like not going to happen. So what we did, we created a thing called Podping.cloud. And Podping.cloud is, we do all of the posting to the blockchain, to the Hive blockchain in the background. And all you have to do is send a URL of your feed and potentially in the future, a reason code, send a URL of your feed to Podping.cloud. And then we already have the staking and all that stuff set up in the background with posting accounts. And we just write it to you, to the blockchain on your behalf. It just takes all of the messy cryptocurrency weirdness away from it. So that's the Podping.cloud service.
The result being that is a true history of what is updated in podcasting, and it has a lot of that detail. And of course, the pointer to each RSS feed.
Mm-hmm. In that sense, it's an untapped resource, honestly, of historical stats and all kinds of things. So that's what Podping.cloud is, and it's consists of 5 servers, 3 in the United States, 1 in Australia, 1 in Europe. They're load balanced, geolocation load balanced. So when you send a URL to the Podping.cloud service, it chooses the nearest server to you, and uses that as its point. And it's just a web. It's each server is 2 parts. It's a web server front end. It's a binary, just a single binary, and on the back, and it connects with the Hive Writer Python script through through 0MQ, ZMQ, which is just an advanced socket architecture, socket service. then meaning like, you know, just like you saw any kind of Unix socket or TCP socket, you can, it can set itself up as that, but then it gives you the ability to do all kinds of fun stuff like many to one or one to many, or, you know, queuing and all
that.
Oh, things.
That sounds really fun.
It's great. you should try it. So anyway, that it's in that sense, it's a fairly simplistic system. You send a URL to the Podping front end. The web server accepts it, sends it through the 0MQ socket. Hive writer gets it, writes it to the blockchain. Done. Well, I have not touched the Podping servers in a couple of months, and I don't really think about it. And what we do in the index is, if you are a host that supports Podping and sends Podpings, we don't poll you anymore.
Right.
If, you know, so that would be Buzzsprout, RSS.com.
No polling for you.
Transistor, Captivate, Podserve, Justcast.
Which is the whole point.
Caproni. Yes, exactly. And there's more. Cast the Seriously Simple podcasting plugin through Castos. There's a few more, a lot. So yeah, and we're eating our own dog food there. It's like, okay, well, this, we're saying that this is the way that things should work, so everybody stops polling. Well, I'm not just going to keep polling. I'm gonna plant my flag.
Yes. And how'd that work out?
It blew up. It did not work.
Yeah.
No, it
was working fine, I guess.
It was working fine for a long time. And because there's three servers in the U.S., what had happened was one of them, the Hive Rider, had locked up, had frozen with an exception. It had raised an exception that did not crash the process, so the process was just sitting there stuck.
Mm.
And then about a few weeks later, another one did the same thing. But there's still one over here left that's getting traffic. And since the front end, the web server, is still accepting URLs, happily, and just sticking them in the queue.
Did you just have a huge queue?
Yeah, the queue is just like, you know, it has 50,000 feeds in it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no. But because pod pings are still coming through to the chain, I didn't realize anything was wrong. I thought it was just,
right.
Things are still coming through because of that third server that's being a trooper and still doing his job. And so then Alberto and John Spurlock sent me a message like, hey, you know, Spurlock's stats are showing that there's been a big drop off in RSS.com feed updates. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. I mean, nobody's contacted me about it. And they're like, we're trying to figure it out. Maybe it's a caching issue. And I'm like, you know, of course, typical IT guy, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's caching. It's your fault.
And DNS. It's DNS, obviously.
Yeah, it's clearly DNS. Stop wasting my time. And so then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's probably it. And then Alberto delays his pod pings by like 2 minutes. He's like, no, that's not it. Something's wrong. And I go hunting and I find that it's frozen. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm like, okay. So I've been running.
This is interesting. Let me just interject. I follow the Podping stats bot on podcastindex.social. And for weeks, for some reason, I'm like, the post count to me was just like a metric. So this thing would scroll by and like, 3.1 posts, 3.3, you know, per minute. I don't even know what it means. Post count is 2,704. And it says in parens, 3.1 posts per minute. And I always felt that gave me some kind of impression of it's being used more. And for the past 2-3 weeks, I recall distinctly like, it's only 2 for 5, 2.1. That's much lower than it used. I don't even know what it means. But now today, I just go to it right now, 5.1. Uh-huh. So that's probably your queue that is getting, I mean, it's, I think that's.
So you're looking at the chart?
I'm looking at the toots.
The automated post.
Automated post. And I have a feeling that I could see that happening. I just didn't know what it was.
Okay.
It was probably processing less posts per minute, or is that just my perception? It doesn't matter.
No. There's definitely less coming through for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was the case. But because there was some coming through, I did.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking at it here on these charts, and that you can see the slowdown. Because there was some coming through, it just didn't register there's anything wrong. And so, yeah. And once I figured out what was wrong, I'm like, okay, I got to fix this. But this has happened before. I've seen it do this before. And turns out I was way behind in the Hive Router has changed Hive libraries. It doesn't even use the same library anymore. Alex Gates has done a lot of work on it, and I was not current. So I'm like, I don't want to fool with this, but I got to bite the bullet, update these servers to the most current version.
Dave, I'm going to tell you right now that my Windows machine is about to crash.
Oh, you can feel it coming?
Yeah, it just did that whole thing again that it did yesterday. Now my... Okay. We made it back. Unfortunately, we didn't record everything. That was a spectacular blue screen of death. Do you want to hear about it?
Why didn't you handle your system thread exception is what I wanted. It was unhandled.
Because I didn't like handling it. But did you see what it is? NDIS.sys. Is this like a networking thing? Some networking resource?
Oh, what's NDIS? I should know this.
Sounds like something lame.
No, that's a driver, network driver interface specification. Yes, network driver.
Yeah. Well, what are they doing? What's their problem?
I blame the Roadcaster.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. All right. You were talking about the broken Podping Cloud Watcher.
Oh yeah. Yes, I was. So I had to upgrade it and get to the newest version. And I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, let's just go Docker. And so I did the full upgrade on all five servers. Docker, latest Docker Hub image is running on the running Hive Router. Alex helped me work through some networking issues. Docker is a little confusing sometimes because you're NATed. You have a NATed network. The private Docker network internal is not this. Yes.
I have noticed this. It's very complicated for non smart people. Like me.
It's complicated even for smart people sometimes.
Okay. But all right.
We got it fixed. And he anticipated this issue and we got it fixed. He had some environment variables we could set. So anyway, it's up and running. And now, that problem is solved. I'm keeping an eye on things and I'm going to, but so here as going through this process, which I should have done a couple months ago, Spurlock had posted something on the Podcast Index social the other day saying that, you know, why don't you make it, why don't you put an endpoint on the API for people that have a read write key so that they can send a pod ping through the API. And I think that's a fantastic idea.
It's a valid entry point, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have a publisher key, meaning you're a host, if you have a publisher level permission token for the Podcast Index API, why not just make an endpoint where you can send the pod ping that way?
Yeah.
And you can do live, you know, you can send it a live pod ping through that. And I think that's a fantastic idea. And now that I've gone through the process and understand
the reasons why it would be great.
Yes. Yes. And I know I can quickly get that new, it's a Dockerized version. What was odd is I've never really interacted with a Docker image like this.
Mm-hmm.
So typically you think, when you think Docker, you think of long running processes, network, like daemons.
Oh yeah. I think of these things all the time.
Yeah. See, clearly you do. And you think of services. You can also interact with it as a command line utility. So you can run something in a Docker, but call it like a command line. where it just, the Docker spins up, does the thing, and then exits.
And then exits. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And
it's
I didn't really
like
have
a really big shell script.
A very heavy shell script. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so that, I think I can do that on the API side. And then have a similar thing. And that's cool because that would let us allow hosting companies to use the API, which they already have keys for, to send live notifications. They can shortcut their road to supporting live pod pings using something they're already familiar with, which is the API.
Nice.
But this is now firmly on the roadmap.
Now is this a pimp?
This is pimp one.
Okay, because I heard Sam Sethi had Alberto. They had already claimed pimp two.
What was pimp one?
Whatever yours was, they were doing pimp two. Whatever you got is pimp one.
Okay, this is like a GNU's not Unix. This is regressive acronym, or
I have no
where
idea.
The acronym contains itself. Yes. That's what this is. So pimp one is the proposal for the pimp system.
Is the pimp system. Okay. So yes, then they are pimp two.
This is pimp three.
Okay. Podcast improvement movement proposal.
No. I've got it. I figured it out this week. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. It is the proposal to improve podcasting.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Proposal to improve podcasting. Love it.
Okay. So pimp three is now.
Now, do we have a pimp system? Not yet, right?
In my heart, I do.
Okay. Yes.
at heart, I'm a pimp.
You're the Huggy Bear of podcasting development.
You got that right. So that's the fact that your computer blue screen today is the perfect accoutrement to the entire week of software disasters. I mean, it's just perfect.
It has something to do with the astrology, I'm convinced.
Is Venus in the orbit of...
Yeah. Wow. You know, what's his name? Occult fan. He also boosts us from time to time. He does...
Behind the schemes?
No. I don't think so. No.
Well, he reads the tarot cards.
Okay. Yeah. Then that must be him.
Boobery.
No, it's Occult fan.
Oh, Occult
Not fan. Boobery. No, Occult fan. No, and he sends my, you know, this, I love it when people draw my chart and they'll send it to me and like, and this and Uranus and Mars and Venus and Jupiter and the sun and your moon is in Leo moon, but they never say if it's good or bad. It's always like, this is what's happening. I'm like, well, that's great. Should I be worried about getting shot or am I going to win the lotto? And it's, well, you know, I don't know, but,
depends on your point of view.
I do feel that all computers are made of sand, basically silica, silicon. Yeah. So, you know, there are natural elements in them. And I've always felt that, you know, that's manipulable by the vibrations of the user.
Yes.
I mean, note, I was bitching and saying I'm moving to Linux. And then what does my machine do? Hello. You telling me it doesn't have a conscience?
Oh, yeah. It said, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Watch this.
No. We've been getting a lot of live boostergrams. Let me run through a few.
Okay.
Based upon the crash I had, Floydian slips, 2222, Adam was a pioneer in the podcasting industry. We're going to miss his hair. He is survived by a slew of podcast co-hosts, and just as many wives. F you, Floydian. RIP Podfather, Dave should have held your hand tighter. Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't catch that on the recording. It was like a Titanic moment as my blue screen had me slipping away.
you dropped into the ravine. I couldn't hold you.
3,000 from Sakai the horse. Adam and Dave, after a year of listening to this podcast, I decided to get a new podcast app. Join the fun at Send Satoshis. Thank you for your guys' hard work keeping the podcast free and open to everyone. There you go. Brand new Sat streamer. Thank you.
It took a year. I'm really bad at my job.
Chris, 3,000 plus one for Raspy Blitz. So far, it's been quite smooth compared to that Umbral story. Well, I can tell you my Raspy Blitz story if you want. I've had upgrade issues with Raspy Blitz big time. Well, here we are. Mike Newman, 101010.
Oh,
101,010 sats. Binary Boost, looking forward to trying out John Spurlock's Thread.land. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Yeah, this is, should we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, let's do it. I put it
in the show notes. Yeah, I also had it in the show notes.
I tried to get John on, but I don't think he saw my message to him in time. It was very late in the game because I wanted him to talk about it. I mean, I think this is fantastic. He's essentially created a service, a headless service, if you want to call it that, where you can just go and get a prefix for your feed for your podcast. And then anytime you can just throw a value on the end of that prefix and it just auto generates a ActivityPub root URL for you to put into your items.
Really?
And it doesn't actually, I may be wrong. This is one of the reasons I want to get him in, but my understanding of the way that it's worded is that it doesn't actually create the post or no activity happens until the first comment.
Wow. This, I just typed in a URL. I was like, holy crap, that works nicely.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just basically ActivityPub objects on demand.
Nice.
Which is kind of killer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not sure anybody's done, I may be wrong, but I'm not sure anybody's done ActivityPub to this level of dynamicness.
Now, I just tried to do our feed. Will that not work because of a redirect?
It should. You got to get the prefix. Did you get the prefix?
No, I just typed in the feed. And listen, man, I'm really good at breaking stuff. I just want everyone to understand that this is what I do.
It is.
Yes. Let me see. I mean, if you just go there to thread.land, and what is our
feed address? Our prefix is.
No, what is our feed address? What
feed address?
He says find your podcast. Oh, just find your podcast. Let me try this pod.
Yeah, type in podcast 2.0.
Gee, he does a search right there. Are you kidding me? Oh man, yeah. This we've built some amazing shit here. Oh, 2.0. What are you laughing at? We've built some amazing shit. All right, so there's our prefix. Okay, I got that. And then what do I do? For each episode, thread. You want to enable comments in your RSS feed, use this prefix, mm-hmm. and a unique suffix. So that would be, I do like PC2095, right? Or not?
Yeah. That sounds That sounds great.
And he says that's it.
That's it. And it creates the ActivityPub object when I think when the first reply happens.
Well, should we use it for even though you usually do the thing on?
No, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's use it for this one. I'd like that. Okay.
So he says, kind of important note: this service is still in development and doesn't actually work yet. So don't make any real feed changes. I'm making it available pre-initial launch to engage. So I think it does work. I think he's just setting expectations.
Okay, so I have this prefix and then slash, and then I'll just do 95 just to make it simple.
Okay.
That makes sense? Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that kind of solves everything, doesn't it? Or it solves a lot, gets a lot of things started.
And let's see, he says, if you're interested in using this service for your podcast, DM me on Twitter or Mastodon with your prefix URL above, and I'll add you to the early access list.
Probably shouldn't.
Wait, does your no? Let's go ahead and do it. Now, what is your does the prefix you show? Is it 7GOP6LC?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to send that to John as we speak.
Okay, we're getting connected here.
Yeah, I mean, but this is dog food. We got to eat it. Say, hey, John.
I'll continue with some of these boosts that came in while you're dictating your note. Yes. See Brooklyn 112 5000 sharpening those scissors. Indeed, thank you. let's see. We have the pre boobery 17,776. Urgent. This boost is racist. All right. Thanks. Cold acid 20,333. Post troubleshooting boost for 95. Yeah, these people are so nice to hang in while we're doing all that crap. Crimson Heck deer. Yeah. 10,001 breeze boost. This is nice. Thank y'all. Thank you, fellows and ladies. And there's Harv Hat with the testing, 111, 1111. And, I think that's, oh no, we had, Boobery come in with a super row of ducks, 22,222, saying, oh my goodness, Petar is a confirmed known goat slaughtering maniac. Oh, I guess.
What?
Yeah, this is, you know, those people are crazy. Boobery and all these, you know, these guys go nuts with their live shows. He murdered approximately 15 goats and boosted the GIMP live in the green room last week. See this code here. Producers were doing drugs just to cope while Alex Jones was shouting yay in the background. What a mess. We're going to need a black light boost to get this cleaned up. So what they're, this is, from what I understand, this is the bot they had set up so people could fire off their own helipad sounds with a boost. I mean, the idea is really cool. I like it a lot.
He clarified later and said that it has, you can fire off sounds, but it has to be approved sounds that they...
Right. Yeah, they have to put it in beforehand. Sure, that makes sense.
Because I'm thinking if you want to go full on scissor nuts, you say, okay, put a URL to an MP3 in your boost, and that's what gets triggered. That is...
Now, I have some experience with this.
Bar Friday.
What I said, I was using early Dropbox. I said, hey, here's my Dropbox. Just put something in there and then I'll play it. Which was great. Which was great until every single Dropbox I had was filled because, of course, someone's like, look, here's these 15 Pink Floyd albums. Oh, look. So what you're going to have someone firing it up and you're going to have a 20-minute song running. So,
yeah,
that always works in very limited flavors.
Limited flavors. Yes. I like it. I love the idea of here's what I like about this conceptually about what John did. And it's very similar to what Alex is doing with No Agenda Tube and what Andy Lehman is doing with his Podcasting 2.0 WordPress plugin. This is what happens when you, like, it's one thing to have an idea. We all have ideas, but that doesn't, I mean, yay. Have your idea, but put some meat on those bones, like actually make something that somebody can use. Because if you don't, and Brian of London with the hive machine and Podping, don't just come up with an idea, come up with an idea and then put some flesh on it so that it's functional. Because that's the difference between, okay, let me compare Podping. I'm just taking Podping at random. Let's scrap that. Take Social Interact Tag and Threadland. Compare that to something like PodPass, which was developed as PodPass. Okay, yeah, PodPass we've talked about before. It was developed as a protocol proposal for how to enter, for how apps can do subscription, can confirm that they're subscribed to a private feed, or can subscribe to a subscription level feed in an open way. It's a nice design. It's pretty cool. It was proposed a few years ago before the pandemic, but it was just a spec sheet. Like, I mean, it was just a spec protocol.
Right.
There was never any software that showed it running, showed it doing what it was supposed to do, allowed people to hook into it and sandbox it and play with it. Like, if you don't, this is why podcasts, this is another reason why podcasting has tended to stagnate, is because lots of people have great ideas, but nobody's actually writing usable code that can help people get from the concept to the finished product.
Well,
everybody's busy.
I would say this is what hampers humanity in general, Dave. Everybody has great ideas, but it always comes down to execution.
Yeah, true.
And we've
everybody
just,
hates the ideas guy, you know.
Well, we've got a lot of executioners, and I like it. We've got people who podcasting 2.0 executioners.
Yeah. Hail the executioners!
They absolutely execute. That's the same with what is that new RSS? Isn't there some media RSS? No, what was it? The one with the math.
The one with the math.
It's like some RSS 3.0.
Oh yeah, RSS 3.0. You bring your own. You have to have a slide rule and a copy of Wolfram Alpha to write a podcast feed.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I've mentioned that the other day.
I don't think I've seen one of those in the wild yet either.
You never will. That's the problem. You'll never see one of those things in the wild.
By the way, I'm going to watch it tonight since Tina and I are both kind of in an icky mood anyway. It is Danny Kaye, A Song Is Born.
Ah.
Is the name of the movie. It is Danny Kaye. Hold on a second. Will that play? With her gangster... Benny Goodman. The wail of Benny Goodman's clarinet.
The wail. I like that.
The moan of Tommy Dorsey's trombone. I'm reading the titles. The shit they were saying, the moan. The call of Louis Armstrong's trumpet. Anyway... With her gangster boyfriend under investigation by the police, a nightclub singer hides out in a musical research institution staffed by bachelor professors. What could possibly go wrong? One of whom begins to fall for her. Yeah, see?
That's some innuendo.
Oh, yeah.
Spicing it up in the 50s.
It's borderline blackface movie, this.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, 1948.
48? I didn't realize Danny Kaye went back that far.
I think so.
All the way to 48?
Yeah. You know he's dead.
Wow, he must have been young.
You know he's dead.
I know he's dead. Yeah. I do know he's dead. Yes. Yeah. He's buried in Danny Kaye's tomb.
I don't know. Sure.
Kevin Rook, have you been listening to his podcast?
I started listening to... I've been on his podcast. I've listened to several of his episodes, and I recently went back and I'm about halfway through the Paul Itoi interview. Good, about
StackWorks.
That's
a great interview.
Yeah,
it's a great interview. It really helped me understand Paul a little bit better, I think.
Nothing changed. Their mission has always been the same. They just stopped the non-profitable podcasting stuff.
Yeah, right.
Honestly, that's what it was. Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, he has a real company that does real stuff, and the entire Sphinx chat and the integration, the interop we did was instrumental. Mm-hmm. Is what got this all kicking, basically, the value for value stuff.
And I guess I liked it too because he described his interaction with Lightning in a very sort of blue collar utilitarian way. He's like, you know, all the things we've done with Lightning have been purely in service of a mission of a larger goal,
sure,
which was the stack work thing and that kind of thing. And it kind of relates back to what we were saying just a second ago with, don't just have an idea, give it feet.
Yeah.
Because when you, the same, our interaction with Lightning is also very utilitarian and very blue collar. I mean, we need to get, we need to get a job done.
Yeah. We need to stream them Lightning. Sats. We need to spray those sats everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it allows us to spray them. I think that's a fine position to have. And it makes a lot of sense for them because you're going to go through phases where it's like, well, I mean, the job is not to be the champion of a thing. The job is to improve the thing is to improve the thing on behalf of the larger goal.
And also, I mean, I apologize. We basically ran them into the ground on that. You know,
we broke their software.
Oh, well, not necessarily their software, but the concept of everybody gets their own node and you don't have to worry about your channel management. And that was impossible because it wasn't just here's a sat here, a sat there, 20 sats for this. No, it was like boom, boost, everything going on. And it was just too much. It was way too much.
Yeah, it broke that system.
Yeah.
The distributed node model thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason I brought up Kevin Rook is because he had an interview with Christian Decker. That's a very good interview because he talks about a lot of what brought it up is Brian of London was mentioning a lot of things, a lot of problematic things with light and lightning and frustrating things that he this week. That's worth going and listening to that interview because he talks about, I mean, these are known issues that fixes are in the works for. One of the things is liquidity offers,
mm-hmm.
and how you can just as part of the standard Lightning gossip, you'll be able to announce an offer of liquidity, and that will be negotiated, like in the software, in the node software, and then you can just bring up some liquidity when you need it without having to go through Loop or Pool or any of these sort of liquidity service providers. Because that, I think that's a real fear out there is that there's going to, everything's going to get concentrated into the hands of sort of some big liquidity providers. And this is a way to combat that. And it makes it more efficient too, because you just always would have these offers floating around the network for liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you programmatically or software wise negotiating the acceptance of an offer. And then you got a channel and you may have somebody who's that allows small players to participate in that game as well, to offer liquidity instead of everybody just defaulting. Cause you don't want somebody to become the YouTube of liquidity, or the Google of Lightning liquidity. You want it to be democratized and you want somebody that just has $1,000 on their node, you want them to be able to also offer liquidity services at cheaper rates,
mm-hmm.
as a competition to the big guys.
Well, what's interesting is that many of these liquidity type services are brokered by centralized players. This is what Lightning Labs tried to do with Pool, which I never quite understood. Just never. Is it William? Which interview was it?
Christian Decker. Yeah.
Christian. Is that an older one?
No, it was recent. It was recent. Mm, he's the guy from Greenlight.
Yeah.
From Blockstream.
Yeah. I'll have to look. It's not on this page yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, what I've, first of all, the Lightning Network, there's so many private channels that we have no idea what's going on. And it's massive, 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 massive. That's just for traders moving shit back and forth real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the Lightning Network is, we have 140 small channels connected to the podcast index node, and we route pretty efficiently for what we're doing. It's not, people need to be able to get sats into their wallet and to the podcaster. And because we're part of a hub system, there's many other players who provide connectivity and liquidity. I for some reason it's never felt like, it's like the internet to me. It's like we basically have our own public private network where most of our shit traverses over our pipes, but it can go anywhere else and anywhere anyone else can come in. I've never seen it as this network where everyone has to do a certain thing or you have to have big liquidity. I don't know, it's just, but you and I could just have a channel between us and just be sending stuff. That's kind of the appeal to me, is I don't feel like I'm left out or I'm not a player because I don't have 100 Bitcoin in a channel.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I feel the entry points are small.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
The same holds true as what you were saying. Like lots of people like, hey man, you should do this with ETH.
Yeah.
How come it's not Solano? Oh, hey, look, here's the spec. Go ahead and do it. Okay. Crickets.
They don't ever do it.
No, nope,
they
never do it. Never do it.
Hey, Brian of London did it. He did it with Hive. Nobody used it, but he sure did it.
He sure did.
So, I mean, give that guy all the kudos.
Do you have any clips you want to play? Because I've seen these for a couple shows now.
Oh, I've been dragging these.
Don't bring them next week if you don't want to play them.
Yeah, they're bothering you. They're
annoying. Well, I just feel bad. They're in the well. You know, it's like the little children drowning in this well for weeks. That's probably nothing you want to.
Hit the Volker one. That's a fun one.
Volker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You mean Paul? Is this Paul Volker?
Yeah, Paul Volker. So here's I've been reading this book.
The former Fed chairman, Paul Volcker.
Yeah. Former Fed chairman, Paul Volcker. And he's talking about this book in there and that, what's Secrets of the Temple is the name of this book. And it's written by Grider, William Grider. Is that the guy's name? I'm going to have to look this up. See, Grider. Yeah. William Grider. I guess this has the, looks like he died in 2019. This is an older book. I think it's from maybe the late 90s. But it's about the Volcker Fed and during the Jimmy Carter, during the Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan era.
Where he raised the interest rate to 20%.
Yes. And so it's a big book. I think it's like 800 pages. It's a monster. But I dip into it every night. I'm making my way through it, and it is very, very good. He takes a super deep dive. He wrote for the Washington Post back when the Washington Post actually did real journalism.
Mm-hmm.
He dives into what happened to sort of kick off the 70s inflation problem. Late 70s inflation problem, and then how it, like, step by step, the different people involved, how they came to power, what they did all along the way to combat the problem. And this is what he's talking about in the clip.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times they take it as a measure of their valor, of how much pain they're willing to inflict for the greater good and that kind of thing. That's how they know they're doing the right thing. And how under Volcker, it was murder. How he forced a depression on the American people, which he did. It was the only way to defeat inflation, which his predecessors had caused. And now here he came in to lick inflation. But that did mean bankruptcies all across the land by people who weren't guilty of nothing, but who just got caught up in the monetary policy of their overlords, might as well be a million miles away. And they kept statistics of how many bankruptcies, you know, personal and business, how many divorces, how much foster care, how much whatever statistics that you can measure, church attendance or whatever, however you measure social crises, they measure it at the Fed. They count those beans, and then they would say, you know, good for you, Jenkins, that you're willing to hang tough on this policy for another little while longer.
Yeah, that's a real recession.
Yeah. And then they would say, okay, this is how bad it's getting, and they would turn the dials according to how much pain was going on in the economy. That's sick. It's absolutely sick. And then in the congratulatory note of, you know,
well done, job well done. Well, you know, so it's so moronic the response we see now. First of all, now we've redefined the wiki. They literally redefined the technical definition of a recession on Wikipedia and locked down the page.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it used to be two negative quarters in a row of GDP, two negative growth, and so now that's changed to including all these other things. You know, it's not really that, and then they locked it down. You can't edit anymore. Oh, it's controversial. But forget that. We have the Inflation Reduction Act. This is brilliant. This is the thing that Manchin just signed on to.
Oh, I saw this pass today.
Right. Yeah. So it's $369 billion to reduce the inflation. You see? Because,
yeah, sure.
Because, yeah, because this will fix everything. And it's like, okay. The pain. Yes, that pain of the 70s, which you probably don't remember any of that.
I was born in 76, so I was a little young for that. But I do distinctly, here's what I distinctly remember from that era. I remember my dad having having job after job after job after job. He was just, I mean, he could not keep a job for longer than 6 months. It was just,
was that his drinking or was it the meth?
I mean, it's like he went, you know, he'd go to one company and he was a programmer. He would go to one company. They would go bankrupt. He'd go to another company. They would lay everybody off. He'd go to, it was just this.
Well, it's like Tina. Tina grew up in Indiana, Midwest, and her dad. Now he was a lounge singer, which was a different problem.
I didn't know this about Tina. That's
fair. Oh yeah. Awesome. Oh yeah. Oh no. The girls know all the lyrics, and he had a band, man. He had like horns and everything. You know, kind of like Casey and the Sunshine Band. No. He was a swinger. Tony Allenies. But you know, the steel mill closed, or they laid off half the workforce. You know, it's like, okay, goodbye, everybody. Then what do you do? Well, what happens is everything becomes dirt poor and impoverished.
And that, I remember my dad.
Gary, Indiana, right there.
Oh, that was bad. Yeah, that's ground zero for some bad stuff.
Yeah.
I remember my dad involuntarily went from white collar to blue collar at one point because he was, you know, he's a programmer. He's doing, you know, and this was back during the days of the IBM System 36. This is the precursor to the AS400. So this was mid-range mainframe level stuff. And so then he just got laid off, could not find a programming job, started going hanging sheetrock. And then had a string of those jobs until the economy began to recover a little bit. But I mean, it got
it was bad. You know,
meaning it got to the point where he had to just find any job. He could not, you know.
Well, these days.
And we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Oh, no, no, no. It would be very interesting to see what happens. But considering the changes in attitude are, I don't know, first of all, you know, part of those problems came from leaving the gold standard, then creating the petrodollar. Now when petro was under attack, so was the petrodollar. And we've just inflated the crap out of it. We just printed too much. And it's because of the thinking of monetary theory.
Yes, yes.
You know, so that thinking wasn't around before. And now it's like, well, you can just print whatever you want. And to some degree, it's true as long as you have money to start with. As long as you're in the right circles, print as much as you want. We'll just get more on the way out.
I mean, I would say modern monetary theory is not that much different than just basic Keynesianism, but I think people were just too scared to do it before.
Yeah.
Now they're not scared anymore. Now it's just like, okay, go, 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 go. Now like all the bets are off and they're just printing as fast as they can.
Seems like it.
I've got an ISO. I think it's pretty rad.
All right. Let's see what this is.
Here we go. How long is this going to take?
Is this so people can just have random ringtones?
It seemed appropriate for this week.
No kidding. It's been an interesting one.
Software disaster week.
Shall we thank some people who supported podcasting 2.0? And with that, I'm not talking about just this podcast, but the entire project is a value for value project. It's open. Anyone can join. The support and value you return is what is used directly for running all of our servers, for keeping everything running smoothly, for the liquidity on the node. We have bills that we pay. We don't pay ourselves, but we are very happy to continue to shepherd podcasting to a safer and that doesn't sound right. Safer. I don't like it being safe.
A protected
future, a more protected future. Let's put it that way. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to screw it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like want to get rid of RSS. We can do it ourselves. Well,
we're putting a force field around RSS.
That's the way to look at it.
We have got some quite large PayPals.
Oh.
And this should excite you.
I'm excited.
Right out of the gate. RSS.com sent us $1,000.
Whoa. Holy crap.
Baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on the Impala.
There must be a note accompanied with this, I hope.
As a matter of fact, there is a note. It says, Adam and Dave, Podcasting 2.0 is changing the landscape. We're proud to help you and the whole team keep up the good work. Flip this Fiat to Sats and boost away. Your friends at RSS.com.
Aw, you guys.
Boost!
Thank you so much. That's, and you know, besides the financial support, thank you for all the implementation you've done and yeah. For and now, you know, the next step with Albie. And again, everyone should listen to Alberto's interview on this week's Podland. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's queued up. I got to listen to that after the show. Thank you guys. Appreciate it for everything that y'all are doing. Buzzsprout, $500.
Dang, I'm going to give them a ball or two.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Interesting. I've always found it beautiful and fascinating to see the hosting industry of podcasting step to the plate. It's so appreciated.
I don't know if you listened to New Media Show.
Of course.
Have you listened to that to this week's episode yet?
I started. They have a new opening. Mm-hmm. I heard that. They got a new opening opening tune. I heard that part.
Sounded good. I thought I like it.
I like it too. It's much shorter. Yeah. It's just get straight to it. It's good. Yeah. Who was on? Was it something I should hear?
No, they were just talking about
about us, of course. Everyone's talking about us, Dave. It's like we're the bells of the ball right now. Enjoy it because it never lasts.
It doesn't last. No, nope. No. We're gonna be the doghouse.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
Those guys suck. Todd instructed his staff to go listen to our show.
Oh no!
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, y'all got to go listen to the show.
He could get sued.
This is podcast.
It's not safe for work, Todd. You know, people are like, hey, man, I'm triggered by what I heard those guys talking about. I don't know. It's an HR problem.
And so he said once they went and listened to the show, he said he asked them in a meeting, like, okay, what are y'all's thoughts about the show? And he said every one of them, the first thing they said was, man, it's long.
Really? This is nothing. Yeah. This is nothing. Really?
Would you quit? I mean, that's what she said, but you want
to say,
but is the show too long? Or do we tighten this thing up?
No, I don't buy into that, you know, too long, too short, whatever. Yeah. Here. Okay. It's too long. Then do double speed.
Oh, there you go. There you go. One point five x.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's it's too long for busy developers, I guess.
Yeah, maybe so. Okay. Fountain Labs, $200.
Nice.
Oscar and his friends.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. And they're not just giving sats back to all of their users, they're sending Fiat fun coupons to the project. Appreciate
they
it.
They are. Thank you guys. And, John Spurlock came in with $100 this week. Oh, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Delivers and code and treasure.
He says, appreciate you guys pushing open podcasting forward, kicking and screaming. It's going to be an exciting year ahead. See y'all in Dallas next month.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, John. Can't wait to meet you. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. And we've got some boosts.
All
Where's
right.
My boost? Where'd my boost go? Here we are.
We're ready.
George Orwell sent us 1111 through Fountain, and he says, thanks for the value. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Auburn Citadel sent us 49,490. This is what he normally does. He says, JCD boost.
You got it.
Boost.
B. Mozzie, Brian Mozzie sent us, a gargantuan dinosaur size row of ducks, 222,222.
Whoa, nice. Thank you. Excellent.
Through Fountain, and he says, massive row of Doug's boost to bring my total sats over the marker for a t-shirt at the current rates.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You're in. You're in like Flynn. And thank you, everybody, for hearing the call and appreciate it. It's really appreciated that we, you know, we've moved away from PayPal. We were pretty much exclusively PayPal in the beginning. And we moved over to Satoshis and Boostergrams, and you're upping the amounts to make it a little, to even it out. And it's really appreciated. It's very cool to see. I mean, this was one of the things, and like, will people be able to get out of the headspace of I'm sending 1,000 sats, you know, and it's not really quite what we need to keep a server running. And right. People have, and that's also part of the devs, you know, putting fiat amounts in there, and it's just beautiful to see it working.
And I love how it shows that this is not just tip money. This is real. These are real boosts. I mean, 222. I mean, what's that, about $50, or is that more than that?
isn't that $100?
Is it $100?
I have no
idea. Yeah, I guess it is $100.
I guess it's $100. We're at, what are we at now? 23. Yeah. It's about $100.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's real money. This is not a toy.
Well, also, we don't ask for tips. This is what I've always said. You ask for tips, right. You're going to get tips. If you ask for support, for value, and you leave that open, and whatever that value is to be determined by the sender, this is what you get.
It says
it's 53. I'm sorry, it wasn't $100. $53.
53. Okay.
Yeah, it's my mistake.
He says,
thanks, Darren.
Requesting clarification on the sats for t-shirt conversion. Long ago, it was pegged at 40k BTC. But recently, Adam answered this question referencing the current price. Should it be weighted based on exchange? No, I mean, just, you know, it's roughly $125 worth of sats, whatever that adds up to. Just do your own accounting. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, we're not going to get all
technical about that.
No, I got time for that. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Tim Apple sent us through Fountain, sent us 2222, and he says, after listening to the talk with Chris about ActivityPub and apps that provide comments and interaction, you guys forgot about Castapod, which is almost a Mastodon instance hosting a podcast.
That's true.
We did. That's a shame. We absolutely forgot about Castapod. You know what? Ben has not been pimping Castapod very much. And I know they had a release.
He pimps. He did that whole quiz thing. So he took.
Yeah, cool.
Here's what it is. I know what it is. He's French.
Is that the end of the sentence?
No, comma, semicolon. No, it's not a complaint. In fact, it's a it is aspirational, inspirational, aspirational. The French, like many Europeans, they take a vacation, and when it comes to summer, they take 6 weeks and they F off, and they go chill out, and they do their things, and they, you know. And now, of course, this is the communist lifestyle, which is incompatible with our capitalist pig agenda. But that's what it felt like to me. It's like, oh, because I, you know, the Netherlands is the same way. Hey, it's summer, man. I'm not going to do too much. Chill out a little bit.
You know what else is the communist lifestyle? Shit breaking all the time, which was what happened this week.
And gray colors. Yes.
Yes. Lots of bugs and things breaking this week. No, you're right. Okay, so James Cridlin, 1,024 sats, a killer boost. He sent us through Fountain. He says, looking forward to meet you both at Podcast Movement. Beer's on me.
All hopefully right.
Not literally.
Boost.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here, James. Yes, and beers are on you, by the way.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Kyle Abear sent us 50,000 sats through Fountain. He says, stacking sats for cool cats. Much love for the Intergalactic Boombox podcast. Well, thank you, Kyle.
Yes, thank you.
50K big ones. Thank you, brother.
Nice.
Instagram.
Dr. Bronk sent 10 sats, but he had an interesting message I thought I would read. He says, can the Index Plus V4V also work for books?
We don't see why not. Yeah, exactly. Now, how many sats did he send?
10.
Boost.
Droopy boost.
Dr. Bronk, yes, it can work for books, but You may want to up that sat game there, buddy.
If you want the full answer, up your sats.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to read the appendix, bring
that's
in
right.
some sats.
That's right.
Mere Mortals Podcast, 22,222 sats through Fountain. He says, Chris was so funny. You're building up to an awesome episode 100. Anything I can do to help make it even better?
Yeah, you can
boost.
Just boost.
Yeah.
Was that Kyron? Was that Kyron?
Yes, Kyron.
Mm-hmm. I love his value for value podcast.
It's
have you had a chance to listen to that?
I've not listened to it. No.
So he listens to value for value podcasts and evaluates how they do it.
That's a great sir. That's picks and shovels.
Yes. It's
I like it.
Very, very important podcast.
Man, now I feel bad for not listening yet. You know what else makes me angry is I got my cron tab set up with all my weekly donations to various shows, and then my
and your umbrella crashed.
Yes. Okay. So
sorry.
B Mozzie came in again with 10K.
Nice.
And he says, agree with the 10K boost reading limit. 10K. I thought we were doing 1,000K.
Yeah, but he thinks it should be 10.
How you doing, Booster?
Oh, okay. At today's rates, 10K is less than $2.50, whereas 1K is less than 25 cents.
We are cheap. True. We are cheap whores.
I mean, I just read a 10 set.
Boost.
You have more respect for yourself than I do, Brian. He had a follow-up with a 5,000 sat boost through Fountain.
Ah, there it
maybe,
is.
Or maybe 5,000 for $1 equivalent at 20K rate. That said, lower is better to encourage adoption. Cowboy hat smiley face. Okay. True. Mm-hmm. Sir Lurks a lot sent us 2222 through Fountain, and he says, pew, pew, pew. Here's your dopamine hit. Because V4V is dope. P.S. I'm a big fan of Jupiter Broadcasting, so glad you brought Chris on for a chat. Pew, pew, mother bleeping pew. And thanks for making the... And thanks for making the future of podcasting exciting with all the 2.0 work. Love it all.
Oh, fired man. Up. Thank you.
Yeah, man. 4242 from Pirate Huddle through Fountain. And he says, I'd like to pre-reserve Pimp 69. It's going to take a lot more sass than 4242.
Yeah, I don't think you can just... Yeah, you got to do some good numerology.
Yeah. That was a weak... Nice attempt, but weak. Pocket Parlay. That sounds dirty. They sent 500 sats. And he says, how do you guys get your boost across all the apps? Thanks. You guys are great. I'm not sure what he means. I mean,
well, was this from Fountain?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. A lot of people think that this only works on Fountain.
Oh, okay. No, it works in lots of places. Podfriend, Castomatic.
CurioCaster, Podverse.
CurioCaster.
Yeah, Breeze. Yep.
Breeze.
Yep. It's a universal system, so it works everywhere.
Albie.
Hope that answers your question.
Yes. 3333 says from Salvador Syntax through Fountain, and he says, don't get on TikTok. I didn't think that was a chastisement of me.
Probably.
I've never been on TikTok, just to be clear. Never in my life. 50,000 sats from user 36053955541386 from that is the user also known as Todd Cochran. He says, Todd Cochran here. Gents, every show you guys put my brain to work. I'm always trying to think as a creator first, and as we educate creators on podcasting 2.0, they will drive adoption as they will drive companies like mine to adopt more integration. I'm committed to a faster integration in our PowerPress plugin and our platform as a whole. Big news in about a month or so on something we have cooking. Also, any dev wanting to submit code for Podcast 2.0 to PowerPress, drop me an email at todd@blueberry.com.
Oh, that's cool.
Great note. Great note from Todd. Thank you, Todd.
Tina has a message for you, Todd.
Boost!
by the way, that notion, I'm not saying that this is what he's... I'm not saying that this is what he is saying, but... But I was thinking, it's just on my mind because I was thinking about this yesterday. The idea that we need to wait until our customer says they want it before we do it. And again, I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but it could be interpreted that way. yes, there are some of those things. I mean, like you can say, okay, well, because, you know, and I speak from experience on this, because I mean, in my day job, I'm responsible for a lot of things that end up being customer facing. You can wait for your customer to say it, to tell you they want it. And that is an important part of the innovation of doing things for your customers and keeping them satisfied and happy customers. But there's also another aspect of sometimes you know that they don't know that they want a thing. And so you
Yes, Steve Jobs.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
That's true. I mean, it's like, I can see that they would want this thing if it existed, but they don't know to want it.
Well, but okay. So going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this very long episode, I'm just thinking of the blueberry devs. We have competition, and that is. I'm telling you, I can see it. I'm my eyes are wide open. We have competition in the hosting space, and everybody's gotten a little jiggle. I'm like, oh, hey, let's do some stuff. And mm-hmm. So now it's partially based on what are other person's customers wanting or doing, or what are they providing for them? So now we're off to the races. This is fantastic. And of course, what will happen is the most requested features will be the ones that get implemented first. And I think we'll see very quickly where things fall out and what is completely, you know, just that has no adoption, but the competition. And when I mean that friendly, because everyone competes right. One way or the other, but now we have a development competition or competitive. Everyone's looking at each other, and this is good. This is very, very healthy. This is the opposite of France. I'm just kidding.
It's the communist lifestyle.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, and that's why people are busting ass in the middle of the summer in America. It's like, hey, we got to go build some new stuff.
Yeah. C-dubs. 1010 Sats, and he says, please change boost bot to wait. Please change boost dash. I cannot read. Please change boost space bot to boost bot one word in the split.
Oh, gee. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Didn't know anyone would get angry.
This C Dubs must be the creator of boost bot.
Let me take a look. I'll do it right now. Oh, that's what does it have to be? Boost one word?
Boost bot one word. Take the space out.
Okay. Consider it done.
Marcel sent us 3,000 sats through Fountain. He says, Chris sent me. Thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for sending it.
With Chris last week.
Yeah.
Mike Dell, another blueberry long timer. He sent us through Fountain. He sent us 1,011 sats. He says, I think I figured out how to send boosts.
Did you sure did.
Success, and Mike.
Boost.
SLC. I guess that's how you say that. Send us 2,000 sats. And the message is, pew.
Pew. And pew back to you.
Mike Delson, another boost. He's got the fever now.
Yeah. Once you, it's like eating Oreos. You can't stop until you've sucked down the whole sleeve. All right.
Boost. I like you call it a sleeve. That's a pretty good.
I learned that from Tina, from my wife. She's like, hey, man, you want a sleeve of Oreos? I'm like, what did you just say? This was back when we were first dating, and, you know, she would still smoke weed with me. That ended after the marriage. You know, I was like, okay, now you go over there. Here's your sleeve.
I got him. I got him.
I've got a lock on him. That's right.
Put a lock on it, Tina.
Exactly.
Mike Dell, 2222 through Fountain. He says, thanks for the help with V for V on Auto History Podcast. You're welcome, Mike.
Oh, cool.
4,000 sats from SCOTT, also known as Scott. He's through Fountain. He says, H as well on the show. Haven't supported in a while, so I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
SCOTT again, 2,000 sats. He says, sorry about my last message. Speech to text was on. I thought I corrected before sending. Okay.
Hey, listen, makes more sense. I think the epitome of where we are in a technological landscape is when you are sending a boostergram through text to speech.
That's.
Or speech to text, I should say.
Let's all just stand back and appreciate that.
Yeah, this really should for a moment. So you're just driving in the car. You're like, I'm going to send these dudes a message with some money. and you just talk into your phone and it goes. I mean, come on. That's magic.
22-222 through Fountain. He says, "Oh my goodness, Pitar is a confirmed known ghost." Oh, you sit. This is you read
yeah,
this.
This is the one we read. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're the only one we're missing is the delimiter.
No. We got more than that.
Interesting. Maybe that was a duplicate because that. Okay.
Lyceum sent us 12,345 sats. He says, "Could this be an appropriate symbolic number of satoshis for your work? My wallet is soon empty, so I have to generate an invoice and fund the wallet. But it didn't work at the moment. Dave, thanks for keeping the database in shape. Adam, how's it going with the manifesto?
Oh,
you include
great.
A reference to the Boostergram numerology page on GitHub. Martin Lindeskog, Lyceum on podcastindex.com.
Oh, most definitely. Of course.
The manifesto's coming along.
Has he been able, the question is, has he been able to put the row of ducks, wasn't he doing an update to the page and he crashed it?
There's
something going on with
about.
The page.
Okay.
He was going to put
boost bait?
Yeah, the boost page.
Okay.
All right. Yes, of course.
Okay, here we go. 206,677 sats.
Oh.
From Brian of London in the Hive DAO.
Ah, yes.
Yep. Through the V4V app, he says, Brian is back with a $50 boost.
I'm going to give him
a... Go podcasting!
Thank you, Brian. He's finished, geo-landing all over the globe, I guess, in his yacht.
Yes. Oh, he's done. He's back home now, finally.
I guess so. He's posting pictures of Monaco and all this kind of stuff. I mean,
do you get the feeling that this is really his family's yacht and he's just pretending like, no, I'm just doing this thing. But he's like, he's probably like this from huge, wealthy Israeli family.
He's the equivalent of that woman from Seinfeld that has this like,
oh yeah,
an actress, but she's really like a multi-billionaire.
Yeah. She's an heiress.
Is like a coal or oil fortune or something like that?
What's her name again? Now, of course, I can only think of her name as Elaine.
Yeah,
she was on
Veep. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Oh, no, her family is humongously rich from, I think, arms dealing.
No, are you serious?
No.
You're kidding.
No, but okay. it's probably no good. Food processor. There you go. They food make processor. Your shit food.
Ew.
Yes. The Louis Dreyfus Group. They have ocean vessels. Yeah. No, they own Cargill. Believe me, these people are no good.
They own Cargill?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Well, Brian's feigning poverty.
I think he's really too.
A multi-billionaire.
Yeah. Oh, he is, obviously.
Last bit and the delimiter
from the famed Brian of London. He's the heir to a hummus fortune.
yes. Comic strip blogger, 15,033 sats through Fountain, and he says, "Howdy, Adam and Dave. Please, with vodka on top, invite your listeners to the podcast Aboot." He's now Canadian. Aboot AI, narrated by silky voice of Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. Just type in your web browser or any podcast app, AI.cooking. Singularity is near. Yo.
We sure hope not. Yo, back at you. we don't want any singularity near.
With the funky software problems going on, singularity may be near. That's it. We got some monthlies, though. Let's see. We got Jordan Dunville, $10. Pod News, $50. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Stanislava Stoyanova, $2. Stu Coates, $6.66. Bradley Chambers, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, the Batman, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting, $15. Jeff Miller, $20. Leslie Martin, $2. Thank you, Jeff. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And Aaron Reno, $5. And that's our group.
And thank you all to everybody, every single one of these supporters. Value for value, whatever you get out of the project, the idea is to turn that into a number, put it back in. But it's time, talent, and treasure. So you can also just participate. Podcastindex.social if you want to follow anyone over there. If you don't have an account, on the sign up page, an email address, and we'll set you up. And of course, if you want to support us with on-chain or fiat, go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom, big red donate button. It'll take you right there. And thank you again for supporting the open project that is Podcasting 2.0 and this, and the board meeting, of course, this fabulous podcast.
Yeah. I mean, clearly we're too, it's too long. We got to,
obviously, obviously. Well, obviously. You know, we had a lot of important things to bitch about, like our shit not working, which is always important. Hey, it's end of the week for us too, people.
I got more stuff I want to talk about next. I mean, I'll just push it to next week because this probably needs a big discussion, but I want to bring back, I want to consider polls in the namespace.
Just to fuck with Spotify?
Yes.
I'm really not on board with this. Really?
No, I mean, it's not just for that reason, but I mean, I mocked polls. I mocked it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm wondering really? If it may be useful.
I don't
care about the polls themselves. I'm thinking the technology of it may be useful.
Oh, okay. So the typical, let's make some cool technology that no one needs.
Yes.
Well, I would like to do polling, but more like voting if you do it with sats.
That'll work.
That I like. Yeah. But what was your, without going too deep into it, what, mm-hmm. I mean, does
it's
anyone,
too long. The podcast too long.
Does anyone really want polling? I mean, you're excited about the idea, so I'm intrigued by why you're excited about the technology.
I was thinking hackathon, and that would give screw it, let's do it. The hackathon needs a way to vote, and so I was thinking if you have, I was trying to figure out how to make that happen, and if. And I'm like, okay, not all the Podcasting 2.0 apps support episode level splits yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what we could do is create a new podcast, a dummy podcast, so to speak, have everybody boost that podcast, and then some sort of voting mechanism. And I started getting into this all this complexity, and I'm like, well, what if we just put a poll or voting thing in? What if we just create the tag?
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep it there. Let's stop there. Because the one important thing we need to do first is actually figure out how we do the hackathon.
True.
Which seems to be just an idea. Oh, is anyone going to jump up and take this hackathon by the horns and shepherd it and lead it and coordinate it?
I'm hoping if I keep talking about it, somebody will do it.
Eventually, somebody will. This is something that someone could participate in. I mean, there's excitement for it. We all want to do it. Nobody has time to organize it. Maybe there's someone as a part of the overall Podcasting 2.0 community who would be interested in picking that up and running with it. How about that?
Yeah, let's. I'm going to talk about hackathon and the pimp system until people do it. I'm going to shame them.
All right. I think the COVID has me now ready to end the show. I'm tired now.
Yeah, you're about to, I can hear it.
I've lost it. Like, okay, that was it. That's the energy you got for me for today. Dave, have a great weekend, my brother.
Yeah, man. Can't wait to talk to you.
Everybody else, everyone listening live and in the chat room, thank you very much. And thank you for supporting and being a part of Podcasting 2.0. We come back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Here we go. How long is this going to take?